From the least musical show in Studio B, this is View from the Bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Yeah, guy. How you doing?
Good. I don't think ours is the least musical.
I don't know.
There's other programs that are strictly just more.
Like not even the talk, music over. They just
no,
go
this
straight.
Is like,
this is
not gonna say it.
Yeah. This is they just go straight into.
It's more produced. Talking. Our show is more produced than most.
I'm very impressed. So this list.
Put
of,
that into the spectrum of
so
things.
So this list
buddy.
Of things that we should do to jazz up the show are probably unnecessary.
Probably.
Or I mean, let's go higher.
We
man.
Found out we've got. Eight listeners or nine listeners
we
now.
We both doubled our listener income. The amount of people that know we do this.
By the way.
Yeah.
Hi, shout out to Finn.
Yeah, hi, Finn. How you doing?
We appreciate you listening. All right. Sports.
Hey, man. Sports. Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
It's Brewers. It's Brewers, it's Badgers, and it's NFL Flotsam and Jetsam. Because those were the sports of the week. I didn't get any... much deeper into that, but the Brewers are 74-59, which is very, very good. I'm not a math guy, but that feels like 133. Yeah, they're at about 35 games left. They're in first by 3 games over the Chicago Cubs. They had a chance to bury the Cubs early and often, but instead they lost 2 out of 3 to the Cubs. After they swept the Padres. Padres are one of the more talented, in theory, on paper teams in the National League, and the Brewers swept them, and then, like I said, they had a chance. They were 3.5-4 games up on the Cubs. They could have put a big 6-game lead, but instead they're not. It's 3 games. And
shoulda, coulda, woulda.
Coulda, shoulda, yeah. It's a race, which is exactly what you're looking for if you're, I don't know, a Cubs fan.
Yeah,
not at all. This is right where you kind of figured if you were a Brewers fan, this is about as A-plus as this season was going to turn out, because I don't think anybody Brewers fan could have predicted that the Brewers had one of the worst hitting teams in the National League, like by a lot. They should not be winning nearly the amount of games they are, but they play incredibly good defense, which doesn't show up in the stats unless you're an advanced metrics fan, which the only people who know what that is don't need me to tell you how good the Brewers are in advanced metrics, and everybody else probably yawned right through that. And bullpen. They just win by putting the game out of reach in the 5th through 9th inning every week. Basically every game that they're winning in the 5th or 6th inning, they're pretty much going to win, which is good because their hitting is like I said, atrocious. They have 2 players who are playing above average by the numbers. Willem Contreras and Christian Yelich still are the only 2 offensive players who are, like I said, good. Everyone else on that team is like a C- at best to D+ player. Willy Adames, who has not played well all year, should tell you how bad he's been all year. He's hitting now .212 on the season, and he up because he's been hitting over .300 over the last few weeks, and he's just got his average up to .212. Pretty much every fill in the blanks with every single Brewer. Bryce Terang, Brian Anderson came back. He's doing the same. Mark Canna, who they traded for from the Mets, he's doing pretty well. He's hitting better. So it's at least given them somebody else in the outfield hitting the ball, hitting over .250. Going 1-for-4 in a game is way better than watching a guy go 0-for-5 again, or 1-for-5 again in most of these players. So again, I won't bore anybody, especially you.
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
With names of Brewers relievers, but they have really carried the team. Anybody who's had the fortune of listening to them on the radio or watching them on TV, which I bet no one is watching them on TV this year because they're only on Bally Sports and nobody's paying that. I'm not.
I'm sure there's some people that pay.
Then they could tell you absolutely that there's a lot of really good relievers on the Brewers, but they're looking like the 3 seed in the playoffs. They're going to host a series, and like they go 1-2-3 pitching wise, better than any team in the National League. So if they can hit for anything in the postseason, they are a team that nobody wants to play. They were recently on a 9-game winning streak, doing it basically just with pitching. So, go Crew.
Okay.
You got 1 month ago. One more game against... No, actually, I think they got three against Philadelphia, who's got the same 74-59 record. And then they go Pirates, who were good, and now they're not. And then the Yankees, who I love...
There's a dumpster fire
right
now.
I love when that's a fun one to watch struggle, because they spend so much money, and and networks spend so much time telling you about all the players.
Well, the Yes Network is created basically for correct. The Yankees.
They have their own network. They have their own satellite, you know, like they're their own planet in the sports system. And the Yankees are the worst team in the NL East for the first time. Oh, in like, I don't know, 10 years, 12 years, something like that. They're the worst team in their division. So that's super fun to watch. But yeah, so this is a home stretch for the Brewers. Any number of 3 or 4 game winning streaks can pretty much put the season. They're 100% nearly to make the playoffs. So get your tickets now. We'll get a couple tickets because we're still on track.
Minnesota.
I know you're scrolling through there. They're still what, 2 games up?
Minnesota. The Twins are actually 5 games
five
up
games,
now.
Yeah.
On the Guardians.
We're on track.
Yeah.
Speaking of the Guardians, I thought it was an interesting thing. Just to fill in a little baseball talk and then move as far away from baseball as we can. The Anaheim Angels recently made a bunch of trades to try to make the playoffs, to try to keep Shohei Ohtani, who's the best baseball player of a generation, on their team.
He's actually hurt, isn't he?
He got hurt. He's not pitching for the rest of the year. I don't know if he's hitting or not, but they're not going to make the playoffs. So the Angels, after trading their number one and number two prospects, dumped the players they picked up in the trade yesterday in waivers. They in the major league, if you don't want a guy, you can put them on waivers, and if somebody wants their contract, they're yours. And that's so the Angels made a bunch of trades, and now to save just money to get under the luxury tax, their billionaire owner has dumped all of those players off to other teams like the Guardians, who picked up 3 pitchers from the Anaheim Angels for virtually absolutely nothing. So nice loophole in the system for baseball. On to way more fun things. Wisconsin Badger football starts on Saturday. There's games on ESPN, I think, starting tonight. I don't know who, maybe a Florida State or some. I don't know. Anyway.
Utah. Okay. Utah and Florida State, I believe, is tonight.
Utah, Florida State. There you go.
Utah.
That's a nice way to kick it off. Utah and Florida State are top 25 teams. Wisconsin Badgers, who are ranked number 19 in the country, are playing the Buffalo. I'm just going to say the Buffalo Buffaloes, but I don't really know what their I don't know offhand what their name is.
Do you want me to look it up for you?
If you want. I'm going to go with the Buffalo Buffaloes because that's what their mascot looks like too. So
Buffalo Buffaloes.
They're favored by 27.5 points, the Wisconsin Badgers are. So Badgers have won 27 of the last 28 home openers. Last time they lost was 2021 to Penn State, so I guess not that long ago, but up until then, they win home openers normally because they face teams early like Buffalo that they can waffle stomp by 27.5 points. I don't know a lot of players on Buffalo. I was looking through them. They have a couple of guys who are, you know, all conference in their small conference that they're in, but I'm just going to list off a few names to know if you are planning on watching any Wisconsin Badgers games this year.
It is Buffalo, Buffalo.
Is it really?
I think
that's
so.
Fantastic. I like that very much. Yeah, that's the least creative name I could possibly think of. I like that a lot.
Oh, Buffalo Bulls.
Nope.
Yep.
Well, whatever. Buffalo Buffaloes works better for me anyway. For names to know, Braden Allen is arguably one of the best 2 or 3 running backs in the whole entire country. The other best running backs in the country might also just be in the Big Ten, also in Michigan or Ohio State. But Braden Allen has more talent in him than anybody in the country. He was a preseason second-team All-American this year. He is your junior tailback starter. Ches Malusi, his backup, is a senior. He was at Clemson before he transferred now for his third year at Wisconsin. He's as good of a number two that you're going to see in college football. So even though the Wisconsin Badgers offensive coordinator, who came over from North Carolina, is going to spread out a lot of 4 and 5 wide receivers, I would be really, really, really surprised if Braden Allen still wasn't the focal point on offense one way or another. I think he's got to catch the ball. He's unbelievably fast, strong, talented, and they would be doing a disservice if he didn't get if he didn't get Big Ten all conference at the end of the year, barring an injury.
Sure.
That would be a complete surprise. I'm sure Tanner Mordecai is a transfer. He's a fifth-year senior from SMU. The last 2 years at SMU, he had 72 touchdowns, and he threw over 3,500 yards in both of the last 2 years. In case anyone's keeping track at home, 3,500 yards and 72 touchdowns is more than the Badgers quarterbacks have had in like the last 5 years combined. Tanner, he's put up, as far as returning quarterbacks, and like, you know, college stats are a little bit skewed because it is so much dependent on the system they're running. But there should be no reason to think that he doesn't throw for somewhere around 3,000 yards again and have that 20-plus touchdowns, which would set every single record for the Wisconsin Badgers quarterback that has ever been. Every offensive record should probably be broken by about two-thirds of the way through the season this year. They could have, you know, 3,000-yard receivers. They could have a quarterback throw for 3,000 yards. Their backup quarterbacks are extremely talented for the Badgers. They've, for the first time, their quarterback depth is as good as any team in the Big Ten. Which,
well, they show when you have 1, 2, 3, 5.
I mean, at most teams, if you look on their roster...
I'm not faking it. Premier League College.
Yes.
They've got like 15 wide receivers.
I don't believe there's a cap on how many players you can... Maybe there is.
Is this list including redshirt?
Yeah, this is everybody that's on.
Yeah, yep. Okay.
Some of these guys don't dress on game day. You're probably going like 3 quarterbacks deep, 4 or 5 running backs deep, 8, probably 10, 12 linemen deep. But no,
speaking of linemen.
But, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. The names to know on offense. Once again, I was going to name some wide receivers, but most importantly on this team is Zach Milsna. He is a 6'7", 328 at least pounds offensive lineman out of Cashton.
He's not the biggest guy on that team right now.
I cannot believe that, but I would like to meet the guy who's bigger than that.
Zach Milsna. Peyton Lang is 6'9", 340.
Wowzers, like having pro wrestlers just hanging out. Zach Milsna, for anyone keeping track at home, went to Cashton High School just down the road, and take a right from here. He was one of the best linemen in the state of Wisconsin last year. I'll bet he could have played in a lot of other places. Chose to be a walk-on at University of Wisconsin, which just produces NFL caliber linemen over and over, and it's an unbelievable place also for the record to get a degree. It's a great school to have a good time at. So he's instantly became my favorite, and I'll be looking for him in every single game that I can possibly. He'll be the giant guy blocking out most of the guys in front of him at 6'7", 328 pounds, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that doesn't look 6'7".
Number 75.
Number 75 for the Wisconsin Badgers. I don't know where on the depth chart he ranks, but that's a name to know. I'll skip the other wide receivers and skill position, because honestly, this early in the season with a new offense and new coaches,
right,
it is really hard to tell who's going to be. They had transfer wide receivers. They had 4, I think, transfer wide receivers come in. Their number one wide receiver last year is going to be like their number 4 wide receiver this year. They're, you know, they have one tight end who's come back. They have a bunch of players on defense, however. Their top 2 tacklers on defense are both coming back. And I'm going to butcher one name. It's Maima Najong Mameta and Jordan Turner. Yeah, you know, I tried. I really did. I should have slowed that down. But those are the two, and Nick Herbig. Those are the 3 best players coming back. They have a Badgers defense last year was, you know, top 10, top 15 in the country, due mostly to their coach Jim Leonard and some really, really good talent. But most all that talent's coming back this year. They're returning, like I said, their top 2 tacklers, couple of great linebackers, defensive linemen all over the place.
Offensive line is coming back too.
Yeah, they're full of depth this year, which whether they were replacing a coach or not, they were going to be a better team than the 7-6 they finished the year at last year. I mean, running through their schedule, they're predicted by most places to go 9-4, which it would be winning the Big Ten Conference West. It's divided into East and West, of course.
They play Ohio State. Yeah, that ain't going to happen. Northwestern
is down. They fired their coach. Iowa.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Iowa doesn't exist. They really should have no one. They shouldn't have a team by the time they play Wisconsin.
Purdue?
Purdue was pretty good last year. They lost some talent. They lost that O'Connell was a Purdue.
Oh, yep.
Was a Purdue guy. Let's see. Illinois got a lot better. They hired Jim Leonard. They still have Brett Bielema, I think, kicking around as their coach.
Indiana, Northwestern, Nebraska, Minnesota.
Those are all winnable games.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're a 9-4 would be incredibly successful.
Yeah. With a new coach,
system. That's the way to really get a fan base re-excited, because it's been like, 15 years since there has been anything exciting in the Wisconsin Badgers.
Has it been that long already?
Well, since something...
Since really?
Yeah. Because they've had... It's been Barry Alvarez and Barry Alvarez adjacent coaches who recruit the same type of players. Yeah,
that's right, because this regime is not...
The first
anything.
Time. Yeah. This is the first time since 1989 that they've hired somebody that wasn't Barry Alvarez or Barry Alvarez's buddy.
Sure.
To coach a team. So, yeah, this is going to be a whole different thing to watch the Badgers play this year. It's going to feel... Well, I mean, if you watch, it's going to feel NFL style. You're going to see four wide receivers. You're going to see no tight ends. You're going to see guys coming up to the line quickly, making those calls on the sidelines with the funny names on the sidelines and the hand signals staring at coaches.
Yep.
Things that other teams have been doing for like 5 to 10 years, the Badgers now finally are doing it, because when they're only hiring the same type of coach for so long.
Yeah, they don't have that in the books.
Their biggest innovation was just the power running game for like 25 years. Yeah. And now they have modern things. So as a result, they have modern players, modern coaches, and real talent. So it'll be really exciting. It's nice to be optimistic about the Badgers and to get excited about that. That'll be it. Like,
well,
I said,
we got 10 minutes left.
Oh, good. No. We have the NFL.
What?
It's this sport that's coming up in a couple of Sundays. It's a big one. It's one of the bigger sports and one of the biggest.
Other than soccer?
I mean, yeah. Soccer's way more popular all over the world. But
except for here.
I bet you can't name five soccer players.
No, I can't. No. NFL, for the U.S., yeah, it's NFL.
It is amazing that I can name, and I love soccer too, I can name about 10 off the top of my head without looking
Messi.
Up the names. Yeah, Leo Messi is 38 years old.
That's all I know.
He won a World Cup this year, right? Yeah. Like, so last year. So he is the name to know. He's in the MLS. But no, I can name you like the third quarterback on the Houston Texans, but I can't name you the backup midfielder for the United States national team. And I love soccer. So, yeah.
It is what it is.
The roster cuts came down in the NFL, and there were, virtually no surprises.
Yeah, for the most part.
I think with the one less preseason game, I think that the surprises don't really happen, because so much of this work is done.
Yeah.
It's done, it's done in meeting rooms. It's done on the practice field. These coaches know who's going to make the team.
Right.
They're drafting guys. Well, teams like the Packers had...
pretty much the way last season, the preseason game works... Pretty much, it's your chance. It's right. If you're playing that game, that means they don't know about you.
Correct.
You know?
There's a good chance.
Unless you're Aaron Rodgers and that whole Jets offense that everyone wanted to see for. But anyway.
If you're playing in that last game, there's a good chance you're on the 58th to 90th man on
right.
that team.
Correct.
Anyway, so there's a few guys here and there. But what I think with the Niners last year, getting as far as they did with a seventh-round quarterback.
The last pick?
With the last pick in the draft, it really gave a lot of confidence to teams to say, we're drafting for need. We can draft our backup, our long-term backup quarterback in the fifth round. The Packers weren't the only team to do that last year. There was, if you look at teams in the fourth and fifth round that drafted quarterbacks, none of those teams are drafting starting quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, not that they want them to start, but there was about 6-8 quarterbacks in those two rounds. Those are all definitely at best backup quarterbacks.
Right now, for San Francisco, with starting Brock Purdy, financially,
they're set for about 3-4 years.
Yeah.
Even after trading Trey Lance, which was very interesting to Dallas, of all teams.
You hear the story that Jerry Jones did not tell Mike McCarthy or Dak. That it was happening until they found out through like ESPN or NFL Network.
Neato, huh?
The talk is, well, what's that mean? Jerry Jones just does what he wants. That's what it means.
It means when you're the owner and GM, that's the best job in sports.
What it really does mean, though, and they'll take this season to figure out what he is.
Sure.
And because this is a contract year, I believe, for Dak.
This is Dak's. It's interesting because it's Dak's contract year. And if you're drafting a first round quarterback who's drafted that high, you're going to be picking up his fifth year option, because If not, that's a complete waste of a draft pick. If at the end of this year you don't invest the $15 million like they did with Jordan Love,
but I think it keeps pressure.
Trey Lance, it puts a ton of pressure.
It's on Dak and Mike McCarthy. I think they have to get more than just one game in the playoffs.
This would also be. This is what happens when you are the owner and GM and you can't fire. You won't fire yourself. You can trade whatever you want to whomever you want and blame whoever you want if it doesn't work out because there's no accountability in it for Dallas to do.
But they're
a thing like that.
I think Dallas is in the same boat as Minnesota is. Because Dak and Kurt,
yes,
very similar.
This is the year.
This is Dak Cousins.
There's about three or four teams in the NFL that this is their last year of their window. You're looking at Minnesota. You're looking at Dallas. You're looking at the Jets. You're like maybe even a team like the Giants, right? Their window is pretty darn small. If you don't have Saquon Barkley, maybe that's a big.
But then that's a whole other topic of conversation is the running back.
Oh yeah, we still have to cover that in the
we got time a little bit, but just quickly, running backs have been devalued so much in the last several years. I mean, every one of them that are like the top five, were looking for new contracts because they were in their year. They're looking to be franchised. Three of them held out.
Yeah,
two of them signed.
And it wasn't that long ago.
John Taylor's not.
Wasn't that long ago where the highest paid player in the NFL was running backs all the way straight through, quarterbacks and running backs. And now all of a sudden a guy like Jonathan Taylor, who is in the prime of his career, 25 years old, has no reason to not be playing, got himself a little nicked up in the offseason. Yep. The Colts are absolutely just not going to play him and not going to worry about
He's on the PUP list, so he can't play the first four games anyway.
Right.
But it's fascinating because he had till Tuesday afternoon for any team to come up and trade for him. Apparently there was several, Dolphins being one of them.
It's interesting what they turned down. Although they say that there was no actual,
but they want what they want is a second round or a first rounder. I mean, but yet you're turning around and saying we're not going to pay you because you're not worth it.
When Aaron Rodgers can receive a first round pick and a second round pick, there is no way that Jonathan Taylor is going to get himself a first round pick or a second round pick for his value, right?
No. Like,
and if you're the Colts and you weren't going to win anyway, why not just say stay home then?
But the problem is in the big scheme of things, though, Anthony Richardson really needs him there to help him. I mean, it'll make him better and every diet, and it just gives him so much more options.
Right.
What you can't, I mean, that's the debate. Can you just grab somebody that's off the street, which they did?
It's such an interesting thing, too, because they're already paying him. It's not like he's a free agent, he's under contract. The Colts are paying him, correct? Or is he on the franchise that he didn't sign?
He didn't sign.
So he is. But he has to sign to become a free agent next year. He has to eventually.
Yeah, in order for it to qualify as a year too.
Or he just has to come back, and they're going to do this all again next year.
No. After this year, he's a complete free agent.
Because this was what happened to Le'Veon Bell a couple of years too, and his career never bounced back. He was the same thing. No, This is the Jonathan Taylor thing all over again. Because Le'Veon Bell was a 25-year-old running back who has just came off an All-Pro season, and
but he was the difference between the two. Le'Veon was a little bit more of a different cat mind-wise. Sure. He was not the most respectful. He was not, from what I understand, Jonathan Taylor is the nicest guy from every interview that I've ever heard.
Nice, but also doesn't show up to work when he's supposed to. So how nice of a guy could he really be?
Wow, that's different. That's business.
Well, isn't sports a business?
It is. And that's all it is. It comes down to.
Interesting because he's not going to get hurt this year if he doesn't play.
He'll play.
It extends his career.
But he has to play in order for it to count a year.
Yeah.
If he sits out like Le'Veon Bell, it counts against his.
It's an interesting stance that these teams are taking with running backs. And the metrics of sports, that happened in baseball, is really taking, it did in basketball with a lot of threes and a lot of, but it's happening in football too, teams are deciding. We don't need a running back.
You don't need a fabulous one.
No.
Some teams do.
Right, it helps.
But look at Kansas City Chiefs. Seventh round running back they picked up, and they went to the Super Bowl with them.
Generally, if you made a list of the best five running backs, none of those teams, they weren't Super Bowl. The Eagles were not did not have a top five running back.
No. Nope.
The Chiefs did not have a top five running back. Teams that do, like the Giants, came a game short.
The big thing will be watch what happens with Minnesota. Because we got rid of Dalvin. Alexander Mattson's going to be our starting running back. You know?
Right? Who knows? It'll be one of those things where that is the worst running team now in their division, and last year they were the best. So, yep. You know, like besides, you know, the Chicago who runs with a quarterback. But, right. You know, it's a whole different team for if you do and do not have a running back, you'd think. But these guys, these GMs are really sticking to their guns.
Well,
they're not doing it.
The running back by committee is becoming more and more popular. A, you save on the life of the one running back that could be the workhorse. Instead, you spread it all out. Well, then all of a sudden defenses have to plan for X, Y, Z running back instead of just for the one and maybe a backup.
Yep. So. And there's also the running back shelf life is about 5 or 6 years.
Maybe.
So if you can draft a running back in the first round and keep him for his franchise tag deal, you keep him for 5 years, 6 years, you're good. You've made a good draft pick, and then you let him go. Signing a running back to a second deal never, never, never works. Yeah. Do we have enough time to just make
I wanted to say one thing. Well, one thing first is that Minnesota actually signed to their 53-man roster for the season.
Sure.
Three undrafted free agents.
Interesting.
Yeah, so that's that usually doesn't happen, but back to the Brock Purdy and people, everybody's looking at the XFL and that other alternate football league and everything else. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, if you find a role and you decide we can afford to pay our, let's say he's the fourth running back or your third linebacker, if you can be an undrafted free agent, you've saved that team.
Yeah, minimum, league minimum.
You've saved that team, you know, $1 million.
Yeah, because Minnesota especially, because we just signed T.J. Hockenson to a 4-year, $68 million deal. Signed, so that reset that market.
Which it's an interesting thing. Like I said,
he's good. I mean, TJ is really needed. It really helped him out.
He is unarguably a top five tight end. You could say top three if you wanted to. Travis Kelce's the best. Breaks down from there. Who's better or worse than him? But
it helps like those undrafted. So because we're still working on a restructure of JJ, Justin Jefferson.
Oh, still.
So that hasn't happened yet.
It's so wild to me that they could take any stance besides just pay him as much money.
Yeah, he had
134 receptions last year. Is that correct?
Something like that.
Number one in the league. Last year, there were 9 players
with 100
receptions.
He's going after that. He's going after Megatron's, 1,900?
The 1,900 yards receiving is that. Yeah, I remember that. Calvin Johnson's was one of my favorite players to watch. Oh, yeah. Well, he's just the best. Justin, the fact that nobody has touched those numbers in a pass happy league.
But he's been like that for the last 3 years.
So close, yeah. Just tells you how good 10 years ago Calvin Johnson was on an awful, awful team with an awful, awful everything. One more minute to go. I guess we're not going to get to that song again. This week.
No,
oh, man.
No, it's still there after a month and a half.
We're still queuing up OK Go for some time in the future. Yeah, but
just Google it or
please
pretend we're playing it.
Just hum it. Just, at this point, you've probably looked it up. You can hum along to a song that doesn't exist. I guess it's coming up in the next week. As I said, we got
football. By the time we come back on the air next week,
by the time we come up,
football start.
We will have because I mean, there's probably a Thursday game, right?
Yep.
Next week when we're doing the show on a Thursday night, we'll be checking to see NFL Network starts it off or Amazon Prime game. I don't know where
it's at. I hope it's not on Amazon Prime because I just canceled that.
Yeah. No, it's not worth it. It's not worth it for just football for those Thursday games. It truly is not. But no, we'll have football. We'll have the Brewers. I'll be able to definitively tell you if they are going to win the division or
Badgers.
Not. Badgers will be, in theory, 1-0. Like, I'm really excited to watch that game. That's going to be fun to watch them win 56-3. Thanks, everybody. Have a wonderful, wonderful week, and we'll see you again real soon.